Pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know me, I talk with my hands, and so if you see me talking with my hands today and it looks like my fingernails have been painted, they have been painted, but that's because thank God for Pastor Tom Gill. He came over yesterday and we're painting some decks up at Sky High, and I got, my dad used to say, boy, you got more paint on you than you got on the board. That's kind of the way I feel there. So thanks to Pastor Tom coming over. We got some more of that we got to get done today. And I'm in a little different mood today. I'm in a teaching mood today, and not necessarily a Bible teaching mood, although I'm going to weave some of that stuff in there. But I, you know, up early this morning, Lord's given me some stuff I think it's important for us to discuss. I'm going to jump in there as quickly as I can. I want to thank all of you for being so kind to my good buddy, Coach Norm, yesterday. I know that meant a lot to him to be on the show. And all the time I worked with him, I always knew this. The only thing he ever cared about was that he was appreciated. And I think there's a lot of people like that. If you just, you know, you didn't want anything else, didn't want any money, didn't care about money, just wanted to be appreciated. And that's the thing that I appreciate most about my old buddy, Coach Norm. We'll show a video. A lot going on. You know, you folks, you can get on the internet. You can get discouraged real, real quickly, very quickly. You know, look what's going on with Cuomo the homo. I mean, the entire left is do as I say, not as I do. The entire left, right? Remember how Cuomo stood up and said that, Kavanaugh had to go. You got to believe the women. And then you get some other women, and then, well, we don't believe them anymore. And it's, and they get away with it because I'm going to show you some of that here this morning. It's one of the things we want to talk about. But I got to show you two things before we get too deeply involved in this. Two things I want you to see. Number one, Spencer, if you could, pull up the video that says, hold the line. Hold the line. Now, this is off the Stu Peters show. And, Spencer, you can play this at about 1.75. Folks, this is for all of you out there. And it's happening more and more. Just click on Rumble. Okay. More and more of you, all of us, are being forced more and more with the whole idea of having to take a vaccination or having to do something or whatever in order to work, in order to, you know, they're even talking now about making sure that you're masking at home. Even we know this, the vaccine hasn't worked. It hadn't worked. It just hadn't worked. They're going to blame it on a lot of different things. But I want to give you some ammo real quickly because on our Spencer, I'm kind of all over the place here. On our homepage, we now have up on the homepage at CoachDaveLive.com. You go there real quick, Spence. We now have up there, folks, a medical exemption form. Spence will get it up there for us. You can go there and you can download. Click for religious exemption PDF. That's now there for you. All you can do is click on that, folks. And then you can religious exempt. You click on it and you can print it. There it is. Okay? I would suggest all of you do that. But let me also remind you this. We're living in a time when there is no justice. There's several systems of justice. There is no redress of grievances. And as I said to my wife, I think the other day, I don't even know if it matters. I mean, I don't know if you can go in with this religious exemption. I don't know if it matters. I'm doing it. Michelle and I are doing it. And we're going to stand on it. Whether it requires litigation down the road, we don't know. So to piggyback off of that religious exemption, again, that's at CoachDaveLive.com. Just click on it and you can print it. This was on the Stu Peters show yesterday. We're going to play this at about 1.75 speed. This is an attorney say school mandated vaxes are not legal. And our greatest advice is to hold the line. Now, I'm going to play this at You can play it later if you want to on your own, but I'm going to play it at about 1.75 will work, Spence. That way they can at least get the gist of what's going on. So go ahead and play that real quick. Here's what you need to do. Hold the line, folks. Just hold the line. Hold the line. Don't give in. Go ahead.
My Proton Mail is full of emails from healthcare workers, people working for big corporations, big box chains that are mandating this vaccine. They're giving deadlines. If you're not mandated by this time or that time, you're going to lose your job. Is that legal? Stu, what do we do?
1.5.
She's an attorney and a humanitarian fighting against tyranny, and she's here to help. Allie, thank you so much for being here. So what do these people do?
Stu, thank you so much for having me. So the fact is, these experimental biological agents are not scheduled to be approved by the FDA until they've completed all the requisite testing, which is supposed to be in 2023. They're thinking that they're going to rush the full licensure of this. And with that status of like fully licensed approval, they think that they'll have better legal authority to try to mandate this on people. So that's why they're giving these suggested mandates at a date, you know, not too far out, but definitely not today.
Right.
Because they think that there's going to be a full licensure. And so I guess the advice I would give for now is, as of today, this vaccine is not approved by the FDA. So because it's not approved by the FDA and it's still considered experimental, informed consent is required and the right to refuse. So don't give in. Hold the line. It's not fully licensed right now. A lot can change between now and a couple months. Don't give in. If you absolutely want to step up and help preserve our God-given inalienable rights, you can assert a religious exemption, which a lot of people are having great success doing. Because in order to assert a religious exemption, all you need is a sincerely held religious belief. You don't need a pastor to sign off that you have a relationship with God. You don't need to go into the science behind fetal cells or anything like that. All that matters is that you have a sincerely held religious belief, and that is protected not only by federal law and anti-discrimination laws under Title IV and Title VII, but also protected by the Constitution under the First Amendment.
So hold the line. Just refuse. Just resist. Just say no. Unified noncompliance. Do not give in. These letters, these emails, these flyers and pamphlets that are going out to all of these millions of people, they hold no water. They hold no weight. They are not legally binding documents. You cannot be fired today for this. Not legally, anyhow. And you will have recourse if you are fired before this thing comes to full approval. Is that correct in lay terms? Everything I stated is accurate as far as your interpretation?
100% correct. Yes. And this is Nuremberg Code stuff. We actually have a criminal complaint that we are just finalizing. It's on vaxchoice.com that is going to be for the individuals to file their own criminal complaint. And we're happy to add hospital administrators that are implementing this at their hospitals or local health authorities, because all of these people are complicit in this conspiracy of this mass genocide of the American people.
There it is.
Okay, that's good enough. Internet connection. There you go, folks. There you go. So the religious exemptions on our page, this is an attorney that said it. I spoke to another attorney. Trust me on this. We've got some stuff going on behind the scenes, working really, really hard on some of this stuff. Again, I'm in a history teaching mode today rather than a Christ teaching mode. You with me? I know you know we do both here, right? We're going to try to apply it to you. So bear with me. Spencer, if you could, pull up there. It says Enemies of the Church. This is a new documentary that's being produced. And this is going to lead into what I want to talk about today. This is a trailer of a new video that's being produced. And the title of it is Enemies Within the Church. Now, where you been hearing that before, boys and girls? Evil men have crept in unawares, right? Evil man crept in unaware. Roger, did you want to say something? I'm sorry. I see you got your hand up there. But
I was just going to add, the other thing with your employer is to inform them, if you were to take the jab, you are not waiving your right to sue them.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being is, hey, if you force me to take this to keep my job, my taking it does not waive my right to come after you if I am harmed by the jab.
Amen. Okay, good. Because this is a constitution. If we have it, we're going to find out soon whether we have a constitution or not, folks. We really are. So here's the official trailer, Enemies Within the Church. And I want to show this. And then I want to jump into my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Go ahead. Play that quickly, Spence. Can't hear it, bud. We can't hear it.
Transformative nation. What happened to the church? To the living, powerful, transformative, nation-shaking Christianity?
What they're trying to do is completely demolish Western civilization and then to rebuild it in a just society.
How do you break down American Christianity?
I think the problem today in our culture is many of our words have been co-opted and stolen and dumbed down and reversed.
Social justice is sold as something that it isn't. Critical race theory is sold as something that it isn't.
Whiteness has caused blindness of heart. Whiteness has caused blindness of heart.
When you preach victimization, it always leads to vengeance and vice. Us against them, me against you, I want my pound of flesh.
American churches today are where the universities were 10 years ago. Pretty heavily Marxist. They're not quite there yet, but they're well on the way. Many of the seminaries and Bible colleges are definitely already there.
That message that they're going out and taking the world is not, you need to repent of your sin, receive Christ. Instead, the message that you actually have is they are under the weight of racism or sexism or homophobia, and then we need to unify them together.
I'm gay. I'm 29. I'm a youth pastor in New Jersey.
I'm straight, and I'm also a youth pastor in New Jersey.
We're planning on sharing life together for the rest of our lives, which we're not totally sure what that looks like. Obviously, Nick is straight, and he does plan on getting married. When he has a wife one day, she'll make those decisions with us.
The future damage of what we're doing now is just going to be enormous.
The entire fabric of family, personal wealth, private property, all those things are out the door. And everything is the state. They believe the state is God.
They don't define justice the same way as the scripture.
Oh, no. It's going to be an equality, all right. And it's going to be a totalitarian Marxist justice.
Enemies within the church. Something that popped out at me, folks. One of the most dangerous things we have going right now is something called youth pastors. Youth pastors. Hey, Dad, you're the youth pastor. Hey, Mom, you're the youth pastor. And you don't even know, in this modern age in which we're living, when you send your child off to be ministered to by a youth pastor, I want you to know this. Very few of them have the same worldview that you have. They've been raised in a different time, place, age, and circumstances. Youth pastors are dangerous. There I said it. There I said it. Don't feel bad about it. There I said it. I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. I'm trying to build a case here with you. Down at the bottom there, at the top, the love gospel. Click on that. This is from our good friend Bradley Dean. Bradley's often making good videos. You can play this at 1.5 speed. And this is, again, if you watch the show at all, you know that I hammer this all the time, that the love gospel is an incomplete gospel. Go ahead, play it.
I have searched scriptures high and low for the Jesus loves you gospel, and for some reason, friends, I can't find it. If it's there, I will gladly preach it, but nowhere can I find any of the apostles telling sinners that Jesus loved them. The Bible does say, for God so loved the world, in John 3:16, but in each reference to the love of God is in direct reference to the cross of Christ. So here's a few such references. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to die for us to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 4:10. God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, John 15:13. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, 1 John 3:16. Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, Ephesians 5:2. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, again John 3:16. So where is God's love? How was it that the Apostle Paul knew that God loved him? Because he was often hungry and naked, he was whipped, beaten, stoned, and so depressed that at one stage in his life that he wanted to die. He was mocked, hated, shipwrecked, imprisoned for years, and then finally martyred. What did he look to for assurance of God's love for him? He didn't look at his lifestyle, because to the unlearned eye, it didn't exactly speak of God's caring hand for him. His abundant life was certainly full, but it wasn't full of what we think it should have been if God loved him. I mean, look at Paul. Take a look. Lying half naked on a cold dungeon floor, chained to hardened Roman guards. Look at his bloody back and his bruised, swollen face. Hey, Paul, you've been beaten again. Where are your friends? Demas and others have forsaken you. Where's your expensive chariot and your successful building program? Where's the evidence of God's blessings, Paul? Well, what's that? What did you say? Did I hear you mumble through your swollen lips that God loves you?
Paul slowly lifts his head. His black and bruised eyes look deeply into yours as they sparkle as he says these two words, the cross. He painfully reaches into his blood-drenched tunic and carefully pulls out a large letter he had been writing in his own hand. His trembling, blood-stained finger points to one sentence in particular. You strain your eyes in the dim light and read, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Paul knew that when God created the heavens, the sun, moon, stars, and the sky that surrounds this massive earth, he displayed to humanity his incredible power, his majesty, and of course his glory. And in the same way, the cross of Calvary displayed to humanity the evidence of God's love towards us, but God commendeth his love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. You see, that was the source of Paul's joy and thus his strength. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, Galatians 6:14. If there's an economic recession, those who love God solely to material blessings as evidence of God's love will think that God has forsaken them. Those who look to the cross as a token of God's love, however, will never doubt his steadfast devotion to them. The cross is the show of God's love for the world. It is the focal point of our message. Calvary's cross is the very essence of the gospel, yet I have lost count of the times I've heard preachers of the gospel fail to even mention it. Jesus told the Pharisees that they had omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and therein is our message. There is the proper arrangement. It is because of judgment that we need mercy, and the way to obtain mercy is through faith. So, what exactly am I saying? I'm saying that it is a grave error to tell an impenitent sinner of God's love in Christ without direct mention of the cross. Why? Because the Bible doesn't do so. And how can we mention the cross without reference to sin? And how on earth can we mention sin without reference to the law? Is the sinner of today more learned than the Apostle Paul who said in Romans 7:7, I had not known sin but by the law? Has God changed his mind in using the law as to bring the knowledge of sin? Romans 3:20. If you want to show sinners that Jesus loves them, well, we must do so biblically or they will spurn his love. We can invoke a tearful response by telling sinners that God loves him. It is certainly less offensive to receivers and therefore an easier message to give.
That's it. Right there it was at the end, folks. Right at the end. Well done, Bradley, by the way. Well done, folks.
Hey, Coach, can you put that in the chat?
Yeah, put it in the chat. Spence. Listen, folks, the Jesus loves you message is an easy message to spread. It's very, very easy. People don't get offended by it. In fact, I run into a lot of, when we're out doing street ministry, I run into people telling them Jesus loves them. They already know it. They already know it. And they don't understand judgment. They don't understand that. And so when we begin to speak the truth about judgment, they say, oh, that's, you know, what's the word? You're too judgmental. You're not going to show the kindness of the Lord. You're not, folks, listen, man, we're giving a half-baked gospel. Why? Because evil men have crept in unaware, okay? Now, Larry wants to get in there. I'm going to let Larry get in there, and I'm going to explain to you why today. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, along with what he said about the cross and everything, there's only four or five times in the entire Bible where it uses the present tense of love, God loves. And every one of those times it specifies the group or individuals whom he loves. And that is always those who are obedient, those who do what he says, those who are his family, his family.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible never, ever said God loves everyone.
Nope,
he
nope.
wants to, and he provided a way for it to folks, happen.
They've changed it. They've changed the gospel. Evil men have crept in unawares. They've changed the gospel on us. You understand that? Betty, come on in. I saw you wanted in. Betty and then Jeff real quickly, and then let me get into it. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, I just want to say I'm leaving this morning instead of tomorrow. So I got to say a prayer for me. And I just went out. It was really the weirdest thing. I got to my car and I heard the screaming of the F word, and screaming and yelling. I tell you what, that's why I want to get home, because you just don't know what's going on. I don't know if someone was getting beat up or whatever, but I thought let's get security. Yeah. And also I was with my sister and brother-in-law, and they might be listening or they'll watch you later because they're not used to getting up so early, but they watched and they loved you. They said you are a true leader, a true warrior.
Thanks, Betty.
So I think they're going to be listening. They wanted to go to Montana, but didn't know for sure. And I said, wait till there'll be another one. You come and meet up with me. We'll go do one together.
Amen. Hold the line, right, Betty? Hold the line. God bless you. We'll pray. Everybody pray for Betty. She gets home safe. She's got a long drive, man. Long drive. Jeff, come on in quickly.
Yeah, the political left uses 1 John 4:8, where it says God is love. They only respond to that word to justify sin.
Yep. Okay, so thanks, guys. Okay, so here, I'm going to run through this quickly, okay? Now, I'm willing to bet. Now, it's hard to measure our group in here, all right? So But I would bet you that 95%, that's a high number, Coach. Okay, 97%. No, that's awfully high. 98% of people in church have never heard or seen what they're about to see in regards to history, okay? Never seen it. And I'm going to try to run through this as quickly as we can so we can have some discussion on it, okay? Number one, Jeff Nell has mentioned this several times, bring up the communist goals, folks. Remember the enemies in the church. Remember that the government was infiltrated. The churches were infiltrated on purpose. I just thought of that. Thank you. Listen, somebody, you guys email me. I was painting yesterday, and I came across a video of Sun Tzu's Art of War on YouTube. They read it. They read it to you. Oh, my goodness, folks. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. Email me. Say, Coach, send me that thing. I'll send it. We'll get it posted. Anyway, communist goals, 1963, read into the congressional record. Let's start with number 10. Just jump down to number 10, and I want to run through these real quick, and we'll make some connections. Let's start right there, number 10. Allow all Soviet satellite individual representatives in the UN. Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. Keep going, Spence. I want to run through these quickly. You can read them later on. I could do a whole show on this. Remember, keep this in mind. Have you ever heard any of this in your church? This is the devil's plan to bring down the church. Friends, that is the battle to bring down the church. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. 13, do away with all loyalty oaths. 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. 15, capture one or both of the political parties. 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. They seized the courts, folks. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism. And raise your hand if you've heard this from your pastor, okay? I'm just kind of watching, okay? Gain control of all student newspapers. Use student riots to foment public protests. Infiltrate the press. Get control of book reviews, editorial policy-making positions. Gain control of key positions on radio, TV, motion pictures. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of art. Make art not art anymore, folks. Make it ugly art. Control art critics and directors of museums. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling that censorship. Although they're censoring us on Facebook, aren't they? Right? Where am I? 23, break down all cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography. 26, present homosexuality as normal. 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. 28, eliminate prayer, any phrase of religious expression in the schools. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step. Discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats with no concern for the common man. Belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture. Educate the social agencies. 33, eliminate all laws. Procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. Eliminate the Committee on Un-American Activities. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Infiltrate and gain control of the unions. Infiltrate and gain control of big business. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies, Bobby. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders. Dominate the psychiatric profession. Use mental health laws as a means of gaining control over the people. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easily divorce. Emphasize the need to raise children away from negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudice, mental blocks, and regarding retarding of children to the suppressive influence of Christian parents. I put Christian in there. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of American tradition. The students and social interest groups rise up, overthrow all colonial governments, including native populations, internationalize the Panama Canal, repeal the Connolly Reservation so the United States can prevent the world court from seizing jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. Now, number one, raise your hand if you've heard that from your pastor in your church. Okay, good. You don't have, nobody's hand's going up. And number two, tell me this hasn't been done.
George, you got some.
Go ahead, Rochelle. I'm going to make it. Listen, stay with me. I'm going some other places. Bear with me here today. Go ahead, Rochelle. What are you going to say? Can't hear you, dear. Still muted, Michelle. I was not hearing you today. All right. Well, she's working on that.
Folks, that work?
There you go.
Okay. I can't have my speaker plugged in and talk to you at the same time. So very similar to these 45 goals, communist goals, same time, there are so many institutions coming against us. In 1923, when the first Marxist-oriented Frankfurt School, they put out their 11-point plan to subvert Western civilization. And it sums those 45 up very nicely by the creation of racism offenses, continual change to create confusion, the teaching of sex and deviant sexuality to children, the undermining of schools and teachers' authority, huge immigration to destroy identity, the promotion of excessive drinking, the emptying of churches, and unreliable legal systems with a bias against the victims of crime, dependency on the state or state benefits, control and dumbing down of the media, and encouraging the breakdown of the family. They've been after everything good forever.
So, folks, Sun Tzu, The Art of War. It's unbelievable. Shows what they have done to us, all right? Now, quickly. I'll get Debbie in and Tony, quickly. Go ahead, Deb.
Okay, many years ago, I watched a video of a Muslim man who came to the United States, was sent here on the mission to infiltrate as their plan was. That's where you get the Ilhan Omar and all these people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Long story short, he was in an accident, was almost dead. An orthopedic surgeon operated on him, took him to his home to heal. The man was Christian. Long story short, the Muslim became Christian and had made these videos of exactly what the Muslim plan to take, or the Islamic plan to take over the United States was. It's a lot like the communism.
Well, it's the same.
It was slow infiltration.
Yeah.
That's you didn't notice that. I mean, they would marry American women was in the plan. They would get into the universities was the plan. And so here you have Miss Omar.
Yes. So folks, it's been the infiltration. This is how they've worked. Evil men have crept in unaware. They've changed the truth of the gospel. Okay. Stay with me here. Okay. I got information overload. But it's necessary. I'm looking on my computer. Bear with me. Hey, Spencer, pull up stats about the church real quick. Stats about the church. We're going someplace. Stay with me. You haven't heard any of this in your church. You haven't heard any of it. Okay. I got this morning. Don't know where I got it. The following applies to professing Christians in the West. Look at this, folks. Only 13% of professing Christians in the West read their Bibles regularly. Only 1 out of 10 even read the Bible. Next one, Spence. Regarding Jesus, 45% admit that uncertainty about Christ is impossible. That certainty about Christ is impossible. 46% believe that Jesus sinned while he was on earth. 65% deny the incarnation of Jesus. 30% outright deny Christ's divinity, saying that Jesus was a great teacher. Folks, these are professing Christians in the West. Next one. Regarding Christian practice, only 33% have confessed sin and seek forgiveness from God. Only 2% pray in front of others. That's one of the things that amazes me. I get in a group and say, anybody like to pray? No. Nobody does. They don't want to. 39% don't respect people from other faiths. Next thing. Regarding core doctrine of the Christian faith, only 40% say that a lie is no longer sin. 40% say lying is no longer sin, so long as it advances personal interests. 50% believe premarital sex is fine. Folks, these are believers. 34% say abortion is morally acceptable. 44% don't believe the Bible's teaching on abortion is clear. And 40% don't believe human life is even sacred. These are Christians. Next one. Regarding the Holy Spirit, 58% believe the Holy Spirit is a symbol and not a real member of the Trinity. Almost one-fifth say the Holy Spirit can and will tell a Christian to do something that the Bible expressly forbids. In other words, they believe that, I won't get into that. Only 34% believe God is involved in their life in any way. Only 1 in 3 Christians believe God's involved in their lives. Following applies to Christians in the West. Regarding doctrines of Christian faith, 81% believe that people can be their own moral compass because humans are essentially good. And 48% say salvation can be earned just by doing good things and being a good person. These are believers. 81%, folks. 42% believe God accepts the worship of all religions. Oprah, find your path to truth. 26% think that the church ministries can be effective to the world. And can't, I'm sorry. 26% think that church ministries cannot be effective to the world unless they worship services are entertaining. And 39% agree that material blessings are a guaranteed reward of your faith. Wow. Regarding the Great Commission, 47% of Christians in the millennial age bracket believe that evangelism is morally wrong because it pressures someone to change their faith. 64% believe witnessing to the lost. Only 64% that witness believe that witnessing is a Christian duty. And in 2017 poll, 25% couldn't remember what the term Great Commission was. And 51% had never heard that term in their lives. This is why. 1/3 of young adults reject Christianity because of hypocrisy they see in the church. Half of young adults still see the church, still feel the church cannot answer their questions because of flaws or gaps in our teachings. And 32% of American Christians did not return to their church when the quarantine was lifted. 1/3 of people did not go back to their church. I think that's it, Spence. Okay? Say, okay, Coach, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? Well, it happened through, Gary, these people are, they're not Christians. But we consider them, they think I'm not a Christian, right? Because why? I'm judgmental and intolerant, not diverse, yeah. But so here's what happened. They knew they couldn't give us hardcore communism. They were smart enough to figure that out. So they figured, let's try this. Let's give them, pardon me while I poke over here a second. Let's give them soft communism and let's call it humanism. Let's call it humanism. Well, what about the humanists? Spencer, click on. Hey, by the way, go ahead and listen. If you want to stop me, if your pastor preached on this last week, just go ahead and stop me and I won't go any further, okay? If you've heard this, Christians. Because, by the way, we've heard that there's no religion in the public schools, right? No religion. No. Did you know humanism is a religion? Did you guys know that? Did your pastor tell you that? Humanism is a religion recognized by the U.S. Supreme Court as a religion. And did you know that humanism, which is soft communism, is the religion of the public schools? It's the religion of America, right? So this is the Humanist Manifesto, and I'm not going to go down. I don't want to go down. These are some things you need to study on your own. Look on your own so you can see exactly what they've done. 1933, Raymond P. Bragg said the manifesto is a product of many minds. No God, right? Human means human men are God. That's what humanism teaches. It was designed to represent a developing point of view, not a new creed. The individuals whose signatures appear would, had they been writing individual statements, they would have stated their positions in differing terms. The importance of this document is that more than 30 men, how about that? Huh? More than 30 men have come to a general agreement on matters of final concern, and that these men are undoubtedly representative of a large number who are forging a new philosophy out of the materials of the modern world. So 30 men, roughly 30 men, came together and changed the American public school system. I want to run down some of these. This is a great read. Go on down there, Spencer. Without reading all of us. Here, okay, look here. You tell me the difference between humanism and communism. Again, don't forget, humanism is the religion of your public school, right? Humanism. First, religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing, no creator. Second, humanists believe that man is part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of evolution. Third, holding an organic view of life, humanists find that the traditional dualism of mind and body must be rejected. That's where we got transgenderism, by the way. Mind and body, they don't work together. They work separately. Fourth, humanism recognizes that man's religious culture and civilization, as clearly depicted by anthropology and history, are the product of a gradual development to his interaction with the natural environment and his social heritage. Fifth, humanism asserts that the nature of the universe depicted by modern science makes unacceptable any supernatural or cosmic guarantees of human life. Humanism totally and completely rejects any form of supreme being. Sixth, we're convinced that the time has passed. You ready? Time has passed. These are 30 men, at least 30 men, who finally determined this for all of America. They're convinced that the time has passed for theism, deism, modernism, and the several varieties of new thought. Religion consists of those actions, purposes, and experiences which are humanly significant. Nothing human is alien to religion. So, folks, that's why they determine humanism to be religion. Eighth, religious humanism. See that, Larry? Their own word, they call it religion. Religious humanism considers the complete realization of human personality to be the end of man's life, and it seeks its development and fulfillment in the here and now. This is the explanation of the human's social passion. If it feels good, do it. Tune in, turn on, drop out. This is the genesis of all of it, from communism, from the seed of the serpent. Ninth, in the place of old attitudes involved in worship and prayer, humanist finds his religion's emotions expressed in a heightened sense of personal life and in a cooperative effort to promote social justice. I put that in there. Justice, well-being, they change it to justice. And it follows that there will be no uniquely religious emotions and attitudes and the kind hitherto associated with no belief in the supernatural, folks. Man will learn to face the crisis of life in terms of knowledge of nature and probability. Reasonable and manly attitudes will be fostered by education and supported by custom. We assume that humanism will take the path of social and mental hygiene, and we discourage sentimental and unreal hopes and wishful. They are against faith. 12, believing that religion must work increasingly for the joy in living, religious humanists aim to foster the creative in man and encourage achievements that add to the satisfaction of life. Oh my God, can I go on? Should I go on? Religious humanism, they say it. Religion, they say it. Religious humanism maintains that all associations and institutions exist for the fulfillment of the human life. Certainly religious institutions, their ritualistic forms, ecclesiastical methods, and communal activities must be reconstituted as rapidly as experience allows in order to function effectively in the modern world. 14, humanists are firmly convinced that existing acquisitive and profit motive society has shown itself to be inadequate. So they're going to change all that. Fifth, we assert that humanism will affirm life rather than deny it, seek to elicit the possibilities of life, not flee from them, endeavor to establish the conditions of a satisfactory life for all, not merely for few. And by this positive morale and intention, humanism will be guided. And from this perspective and alignment, the techniques and efforts of humanism will flow. In fact, they talk about getting rid of the rotting corpse of Christianity. 1933. Okay, I'm sorry. How many had this in your sermon last week? Somebody tell me again. Did you have that? Didn't have that in your sermon? Come on in, Glenn. I'm not done.
Hey, yeah, thanks for reminding us, Coach, of this. But, you know, I think back, remember the SDS, the Students for a Democratic Society, and Abby Hoffman in the 60s? We've been living with this for a long, long time.
Yes.
You just reminded us. And where was the church back then? We just thought it was a passing student revolt that'll just blow by and we can get on with our lives. But it hasn't disappeared.
It's a spiritual component to it, Glenn, a deep, deep, deep spiritual component. The evil men have crept in unaware that they've been doing. Folks, it's infiltrated into our churches. Oh, my God. I got some. Come on in, Rochelle, again. I didn't mean to say again. Come on in, Rochelle.
Thank you. Real quick, I'll let you get on. But Isaiah and Timothy both have something to say about this. They say to the seers, stop seeing visions, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us the truth. Speak to us pleasant words, prophecy and illusions. And Timothy says, for a time will come when man will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears, they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires.
There we are. Hey, Spence, throw up Jude real quick, will you? Jude. I always like to say this. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. For those of you who think Mary was ever virgin, Jude is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Say it again real slow, because I know you may not be able to figure this one out. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, meaning they didn't have the same daddy. Jesus had Almighty God as his daddy. Jude had Joseph as his daddy. Yeah, okay? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was necessary for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, you better stand up and fight, boys, because people are trying to destroy everything that you've learned. Why? Because there are certain men who crept in unawares. What? Yeah. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. This was their job from the womb. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The infiltration. That's, again, that Sun Tzu video I was talking about that you can listen to explains all of this stuff. Sun Tzu, The Art of War, tells you how to effectively fight the war. And you read that, you listen to that to say, oh my God, what have we been reading? We've been reading, Jesus loves you, this I know. While they've been working nonstop to undermine everything that's going on. Tony, quickly.
Yes, Coach. Originally, I pulled down my hand because I saw you were going in a different direction. But what I originally was wanting to talk about was neglect. Neglect, what is that? That's the not giving value to something that has value. And Hebrews 2, 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of the salvation? You know, actually, the whole chapter is pretty cool. You know, it's when you don't take your salvation to its value, you're neglecting it, mm-hmm. You know? And the Bible's saying, how are you going to escape? And all these people think, oh, I can just go to heaven by going to church.
Why? Why? Because evil men have crept in unaware, and they've taken over the schools, they've taken over the seminaries, they've taken over the pulpits, and now we have a Jesus loves you only gospel. Spencer, go down where it says humanism is a religion. 1.75 speed. Folks, I'm going to say this again. If there's a separation between the church and the state, then why are we teaching humanism to our children? You see, we'll never fight this fight if we don't understand it. We don't, if we, I know your pastor taught you this last week. I know, I'm sorry to be, I actually stole his notes. And I'm using that. He probably taught you about some other stuff, maybe how to have a better family life and how to have more money. And he probably taught you about this. And then in the meantime, 70% of the people sitting in the church are sending their kids to schools where they're teaching them this. Now, this video is called Secular Humanism is a Religion. And Spencer, you can play that at about, I think I said 1.75. We'll see how it goes. Go ahead.
Hello, this is part of the Separation of Church and State series, Part 5, and this one takes a look at secular humanism as a religion. In Part 4, when we looked at four landmark court decisions, the movement of humanism in the 1930s showed up on the radar screen, and this webinar is to explore that further as a part of this series on separation of church and state. So secular humanism as a religion. Well, it's interesting to note that from the beginning, humanism is described as a religion. Humanism first manifested itself after the end of World War I. People were convinced that mankind had weathered the greatest evil imaginable, and the future perfecting of humanity was now possible. In 1933, a group of 34 humanists in the United States defined and enunciated the philosophical and religious principles that seemed to them fundamental. They drafted the Humanist Manifesto, and for this time, it was a radical document. So from the beginning, one of the early pioneers was Charles Francis Potter, and answering the question that he posed to himself, is humanism a religion? It is both a religion and a philosophy of culture, he said in 1930. Roy Wood Sellers, author of Humanist Manifesto, once said this: traditional religion is dying, and humanism is the coming new religion. To establish such a religion, that is humanism, is a major necessity of the present. John Dewey said this: here are all the elements for a religious faith that shall not be confined to sect, class, or race. Such faith has always been implicitly the common faith of mankind. He said this in 1934, and this book is still published by Yale today. Humanism was described as a religion as it progressed beyond the 1930s. In 1954, Julian Huxley said this: humanism is the fourth faith in the next great world religion. In the 1970s, Paul Crutzen said this: humanism is a philosophical, religious, and moral point of view. And he said this in Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2. He was the author of Humanist Manifesto 2. In 1991, he went on to say the American Humanist Association still retains its religious exemption despite an erroneous 1990 announcement that its tax status had changed. In any event, AHA continues to emphasize that its counselor program is religious and performs pastoral and ministerial duties. Now, these are all religious terms, and again, he's the leader of this in 1991, saying that humanism is deliberately positioned as a religion. Universities also acknowledge this. Universities that are virtually at the forefront of humanist activities recognize humanism as religion. And just take a samples from the Southeast, Auburn, from the Southwest, University of Arizona, from the Midwest, Minnesota, from the Northeast, Harvard, just to name a few, all acknowledge in their regions of the country humanism as a religion. It's worth noting, too, the media acknowledge it. In August 2011, Religious Freedom Under Assault by Thomas Kidd, secular humanism is included as a religious faith in the Pew Study in the USA Today article. The article was mentioning that secular humanism as a religion should not receive preferential treatment. So here again is John Dewey in the quote I used before: here are all the elements for a religious faith, and that such a faith has always been implicitly the common faith of mankind. There's one part of this quote I left out, and this is how he concludes it. It remains to make it, that is humanism, explicit and militant. And so this short webinar on secular humanism as a religion sets up the next step to take a look at how did humanism become explicit and militant. This changes everything. My name's Greg Seibert. Thanks for listening.
John Dewey, the father of American education, promoted the religion of humanism. Now, friends, we're still here today. We're still here today letting them tell us that a coach can't pray in school because it violates the First Amendment to the Constitution against religious indoctrination. Yet the entire educational system is religious. Listen, I'm sorry if your pastor gave you this sermon last week. I'm sorry. I just came across this and I thought it might be relevant. Come on in, Joe, and then followed by Kevin.
Coaches, there's some of us in here that's old enough to remember, but it's funny how things repeat itself on a loss of history. In 1969, Ann Arbor in campus in University of Michigan, you had Bill Ayers that was part of the Weather Underground, that was blowing up stuff and killing people. And he was representing the blacks and the whites and Hispanics. But you look at Bill Ayers, we had this going on in 1969.
Yeah, we didn't see it then. We still don't understand it. Maybe your pastor did, but pastors aren't, they're not teaching us this. Why aren't pastors teaching us? Because they've been indoctrinated in the same system, right? Stupid is as stupid does. Come on in, Kevin.
Thanks, Coach. So on the humanist movement, when it came in, I just want to show you how it can't live up to its hype. It doesn't walk its talk. So the humanist movement basically portrayed man as God, and it proclaims human life is the most important thing. But there were three things that came in that were absolutely intertwined with the humanist movement. One was the eugenics movement, mm-hmm. against the old and the infirmed. Two was forced sterilization of women.
Yep.
You know what to talk back in the 30s and the 40s, and then eventually abortion. Okay, they're all intertwined into the humanist movement. So just like Satan never holds to his promises, they cannot live up to their hype. Just wanted to throw that in. Thank you.
Good word, Kevin. Good word, Spencer. Sorry, folks, if it's information overload. Sorry if it is. Need to do it. Hang on. Let me get Spencer queued up. Go to Not About Religion. Spencer, yes, come on in. Whoever that was, no?
Faith for the
Okay, same thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead again.
Coach, as I said, you were talking about things can't be, unless they're entertaining and not successful. Could you have a successful football practice without entertainment?
Say that again, Bernie. I didn't get what you asked.
I said, I'm just backing up. You said that church had to be entertaining. I'm like, did you have a successful football practice without entertainment?
No, it wasn't entertainment at all, Bernie. I promise you, they weren't being entertained. No, that's right. They knew it was war. So here it is, folks. This is another video. This is from the Supreme Court. Man's search. This is played at about 1.5 will be good, Spencer, I think. And man's search for himself. This is religion of secular humans. Go ahead. They're teaching this in our schools. Go ahead.
In the past, many prominent humanist leaders openly proclaimed that humanism was a religion, the new faith for the coming age. They spread their message through hundreds of books and articles. John Dewey, in his book, A Common Faith, wrote this about humanism. Here are all the elements for a religious faith that shall not be confined to sect, class, or race. The Humanist Manifesto 1 proclaimed, "The time has come for widespread recognition of the radical changes in religious beliefs. In every field of human activity, the vital movement is now in the direction of a candid and explicit humanism, religious humanism." In the past, many secular humanists claimed that their worldview was religious. The founders of secular humanism thought that they were creating and propagating a new religion. They wanted the same privileges as other religions, such as a tax exemption. Recently, however, some secular humanists have denied that their worldview is religious. As the dogma of the separation of church and state has spread throughout the courts, humanists have sought ways to retain their presence in the public schools. If secular humanism were viewed as a religion, then it too would lose access to the minds of America's youth. Paul Kurtz, publisher of Prometheus Books and author of The Humanist Manifesto 2, argues that secular humanism is neither a religion nor is it religious in character.
Humanism provides a kind of cosmic outlook. What I mean is it's a tentative interpretation of nature based upon the sciences. It's always changing and open to modification in the light of new evidence. So no, I don't think that's religious or a religion.
Kurtz's argument stems from the way in which he defines religion. He argues that to be a religion, a worldview must hold to belief in some kind of god or gods. But his argument fails because some forms of Buddhism and Confucianism are indeed atheistic. That is, they do not believe in a god. However, they are clearly religious. Therefore, any legitimate definition of religion that includes Buddhism and Confucianism must also include secular humanism. Secular humanists cannot provide a definition of religion that excludes secular humanism but includes other non-theistic religions. There are generally two approaches to defining religion: the substantive approach, which focuses on the content of the belief, and the functional approach, which focuses on what the belief system does for the individual or the community. America's courts, in response to the United States' increasing religious diversity, have gradually adopted the functional definition of religion. This functional definition of religion was clearly expressed by the Supreme Court in the 1961 case Torcaso versus Watkins. In an explanatory footnote to the case, it states, "Among religions in this country which do not teach what would generally be considered a belief in the existence of God are Buddhism, Taoism, ethical culture, secular humanism, and others." Unfortunately, the Supreme Court has not been consistent in applying this definition to its present interpretation of the First Amendment. It claims that the No Establishment Clause of the First Amendment means that there should be a wall of separation between church and state. Yet secular humanism, a religion, is allowed a privileged position in the public square. If secular humanism is a religion, something the U.S. Supreme Court has proclaimed, philosophers have established, and countless secular humanists insist, then why is it allowed such free access to the public schools?
Secular humanists claim that their worldview is value neutral and agenda free, and that it tolerates all other worldviews. Yet secular humanist educators consistently attack the Christian worldview and have attempted to erase traces of Christian influence on history, science, and various other subjects. As Christianity and other theistic religions have been forced from the classroom, secular humanism, in effect, has been established as the unofficial religion of America.
There you go. I'm sorry if that was repetitive. I was just trying to show you that the Supreme Court ruled in Torcaso versus Watkins. If you, Spencer, can you go back a little bit to that
Our Buddhism.
Folks, this is a Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, Torcaso versus Watkins. Among religions in this country which do not teach what would generally be considered a belief in the existence of God, religions in this country, Buddhism, Taoism, ethical culture, secular humanism. Our Supreme Court has ruled secular humanism is a religion. So there's the idea that there's a separation between the church and state falls on its face. Okay, I got sick. I got more I could do. I'm not going to dive into it because I know you probably heard it in church last Sunday anyway. Somebody want to jump in here? Help me wrap this up. This is where the battle lies, friends. It's where the battle's lying. It's right in front of us. They've infiltrated every aspect. They've infiltrated every aspect of America. Listen, they would never put a deeply conservative Christian. They'd never put me on the U.S. Supreme Court. They would, in fact, disqualify me from the Supreme Court because of my deeply held religious beliefs. That's where we are. Go ahead, Rochelle, then Jeff.
Just wanted to say, I'm pretty sure I've heard this story before, you know, like in a garden by some serpent who was saying, hey, you can be like God. And be careful, because the New Age religion has disguised itself to and crept into our churches the same way.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Tolerance, diversity. It's all humanism. Man is above God, and we have to honor man rather than God. Therefore, you can't tell somebody they can't be a transgender, and you certainly can't tell two men they can't marry each other, because the government, which is God, the head of humanism, has determined it to be so. And if you believe otherwise, there's something wrong with you. Go ahead, Jeff, and then Randy. Jeff, purpose-driven life. Jeff, go ahead.
This is the purpose-driven church. Yeah. In this book, it says to remove the cross, make it a concert environment, bring in the pagan religion so they can hear the word. It's contaminated. A lot of pastors read this book, and it's one of the conditions of the church.
Enemies within the church. Randy Lunsford, alive and well. How you doing, Randy?
Good morning, Coach. Doing good. Here's my plan, Coach. This is God's plan for this nation, and starting right here in my own home. It says, godly men have crept in aware and taken back God's absolute law, and our nation will fall again back into the hands of absolute law under the rule of Jesus Christ. That is what I predict, and that's what I prophesy, Coach, for this nation coming forward.
Amen, Randy. I'm with you, brother. We got to fight to take it back. That's what the cultural war is all about. Quickly, Randy, you doing better?
Doing a lot better. Yeah. Every day.
We love you, Randy. We love you, brother.
We're lifting you up, man. We do. We love you. Get healthy, man. Heal up. Thanks, Randy. Rochelle, do you want back in? Your hand's up there, dear.
Coach.
No. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I read Psalm 12. It's yesterday. Someone just told me to read Psalm 12, and it was just about how God's going to take out the wicked and preserve the righteous. So the book that what it shows you want to be.
Psalm 12. That'd be a good place to end it here today. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. These are godly men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Folks, this is godly men. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaketh proud things. Verse 4. Who has said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. My favorite scripture right here. The wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. Folks, enemies within. Our pastors, now, people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Our pastors should be trumpeting this from the pulpits. But why don't they? Because they don't see this as, they see this as political rather than spiritual. Do you see the trap we have fallen into? They make this political. We're not going to get involved with politics. That's right. Don't get involved. They take the gospel of Jesus out of the schools and they put humanism in. Don't get involved. They take God out of the schools and they put the devil in charge. Don't get involved, because why? Politics and religion don't mix. Don't take the secular and mix it with the sacred. We're not going to dirty this pulpit by talking about political things. Hey, folks, the gospel is politics. What's the Bible tell us? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Educate yourself. Put this in the chat, Spence. These things, folks, study these. Be able to understand and repeat them to other people. Go listen to Sun Tzu and listen to him talk about war and how war is fought and how war is lost. We ought to be doing better than we are. People are destroyed because we don't know what's going on. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Be safe, Betty.